Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Well, we're going to get ready for the Word. We're busy with Rain and Life. And if you've missed out on any of the messages, I want to encourage you to get them at the back there. It's really been a blessing to a lot of people. And last week's, I think there's only one left, if there's still one left. We spoke on prayer being the last piece of armor. And so I want to encourage you to get hold of that so that you can get up to speed. All the teachings are on our website as well. So if you want to go online there and get them, you can do so. And then afterwards, you know, we're all about wanting to see you grow and mature in your relationship with God and in your Christianity. Okay, we're not about just having some kind of show so that we can get your money and go home. Like, otherwise, it would be a much shorter show. And we would have put a lot more effort into certain things. We put a lot of effort into stuff, but, you know, we would have maybe focused a bit more on other stuff. But the point is we want to help you grow. So what that means is that we're not just going to have a short message and a poem and a prayer and go home. You know, we're not going to do Grace Light. It's Grace Life. We're about wanting to fill you with the words that you can go out and live in victory. We're not about, we just want to make you feel good and send you out like lambs to the slaughter. We want to equip you for life and make sure you're ready to face the week. Not just the week, but life. And so that's why we put a lot of effort into resources. And so I encourage you, go look at the resource table. CDs you can take for free. You know, if you want to pay for them or contribute something, obviously they cost something. And so it'll bless us if you want to contribute towards it. But, you know, we're not here to make money off of it. We're here to help you grow in your relationship with God. And that's why we're doing the devotionals. If you're on email, then, you know, we've been sending that out there. And that's why we don't have 20-minute messages. You can fit a lot into 20 minutes. But, you know, we're here to really give you something meaty. Now, if you think about yourself at a buffet, you're not going to go in. Like, if you're going to McDonald's, hopefully you're not, but if you're going to McDonald's, you go quickly, right? It's not something that you spend a couple hours at, or you're like sitting down ready to enjoy, and I'm going to enjoy this feast, this Mac feast for like a long time. You're like, you sit down, you eat, you go. It's not a pleasant environment either. It's not the best environment. So it's like, but you go to Quarter Deck or wherever you want to go for your buffet. I like Quarter Deck. You know, I haven't been there in a while, but I really like it. It's awesome. I'm not just going to go for 20 minutes. I want to go and get as much out of my money as I can there. And it's the same with us now with the message. You know, if we're not Grace Light, we're Grace Life, and that we want to enrich you so that you can live in victory and live the abundant life. And that's really the heart behind the Rain and Life series. And we concluded last week on the armor of God, where we looked at the last piece of armor. And today, so we concluded, we're not talking about the armor of God anymore, but we're finishing off Ephesians chapter 6. So I hope you see what I did there. I added in a little bit more there. I realized that this is really vital. So we're looking at standing firm, or stand firm. But before we get there, one of the key scriptures that we started with, which I think is vital as a foundation for us to reign in life, enjoy the victory that God's got for us to, you know, all of that, is Romans chapter 5, verse 17, which says, "For if by one man's offense death reigns through one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." And this gives us three major keys to reigning in life. If you don't have these three keys, you're not reigning. These three keys, yeah, everything else we've been talking about is awesome, but they all fit into these three keys somehow. And these three keys are really, 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 really important, okay? The first one is we reign through the one man, Jesus Christ. It says it right there at the end. Through the one, Jesus Christ. So, you will never reign apart from Christ. John chapter 15 says that, where it's abide in me and I in you. You know, apart from me, you can't bear any fruit. So, if you want to reign in life, if you want to live in victory, you have to have a relationship with God. Friendship with God. You've got to be born again. You've got to be connected to the source of life. Otherwise, it's the source of victory. Otherwise, nothing. Okay, if you want to reign in life, you've got to be connected to Jesus. Then, you've got to receive abundance of grace. You've got to receive abundance of grace. And this is talking about relying on God, not relying on yourself. This is talking about not achieving, but receiving. I can just see so many fridge magnets right now because of all the rhyming here. But I'll look past it. Zechariah 4 verse 6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Okay, so it's not about your ability, it's about God's ability, His spirit. It's not about your great wisdom, it's about His wisdom. You know, it's not about what you're trying to accomplish, it's what He wants to accomplish through you, which is more effortless. Okay? As long as you're trusting in your ability, you're limited. Because your ability is limited. Okay? If you haven't realized that yet, then you haven't lived yet. As long as you're trying to earn it, you'll never get it. That's not grace. As long as you feel you deserve it, you'll never receive it. And so we need to receive abundance of grace. And I like that because it's not talking about enough grace. We kind of often look at God and grace as it's just enough for me. There's even songs which we don't sing, but there are out there, which talk about your grace is enough for me. It's not enough for me. It's more than enough. Abundance of grace means it's too much grace. You can't get to the limits of God's grace. Now, often people start getting nervous when you talk like this because they're insecure in themselves, because they're not grounded. But you cannot reach the limits of God's grace. Now, just when you think that you've gone too far, you just find an abundance and even more grace. And then even more grace. What do we mean by grace? Hey, you don't deserve my love, you don't deserve my favor, you don't deserve my acceptance, but let me just give you another hug. Let me just love you some more. You don't deserve anything, but hey, there you go, have some more. Have some more. You know, I even heard a testimony where someone who's sitting here actually, their testimony was just how God was blessing them and blessing. Eventually they're like, God, you can stop now. They eventually repented from that prayer when they realized what they were doing. But it's like God just wants to bless you more. He wants to bless you more. And then when you don't feel like, you feel like, okay, that's enough, Lord, I don't deserve it anymore, that's when He wants to bless you even more, because it's not grace. It's not by what you deserve. It's purely grace, undeserved, unmerited, unearned favor. Then the third key from this passage of Scripture is you've got to receive the gift of righteousness. Okay, you've got to receive the gift of righteousness. And this is saying that if we're trusting in our goodness, we can't be trusting in God. You've got to trust in God's goodness, not in your goodness, not in your holiness, not in your efforts, not in your right living, but in Him. Okay, in His rightness. If we think that God is relating to us based on our goodness, we're being self-righteous. If you think God's blessing me because I'm so good, in that self-righteousness, you've got to be saying, you know, it's not just religious talk, but it's like, God blesses me because He's good, because of grace. I don't deserve what I have. I don't deserve this blessing, but it's God. Thank you, Jesus. I don't deserve forgiveness, even though I've said sorry a bazillion times. That's a new number. You know, even though I don't deserve it, I've got it. That's got to be where you're rooted. Okay, if we think God accepts us and is blessing us because we did something right, we're being self-righteous. Okay, and that goes against the message. That goes against Jesus' message. There's no place for self-righteousness in the Christian life. It's His righteousness, not our righteousness. It's all Jesus. You've been made right by grace, not by your hard work and effort, not by your holy living. It's undeserved, unmerited. You can't earn it. Okay, so one key to, one significant key really to reigning in life is, and let me say this, it's not just reigning in life, but living in victory on a consistent basis. Because a legalist can experience victory. Now but it's limited. When we're in grace, our ability to experience victory is limitless, because God is limitless. And so we shouldn't be relying on ourselves because we're limited. When you're relying on Him and His power, it's limitless. Okay, so if you think about it then, a legalist can experience victory, but it's inconsistent. When we're relying on God and His grace, it's from glory to glory. It's a consistency. And so it's important for us to realize if we want to experience victory on a consistent basis, we've got to realize that the Christian life isn't about achieving. About receiving. The Christian life isn't about trying to get somewhere. It's about realizing where you are. The Christian life isn't about trying to become someone. It's about realizing who you are. The Christian life isn't about trying to clean up your act. It's about realizing how clean you are because of Jesus. It's not trying to live holy. It's realizing how holy you are in Christ. This is grace. You can't do anything except realize, learn, discover. The Christian life isn't about becoming. It's about discovering. Man, I want to write these rhymes down. we got to realize it's not about what we do. It's about what He's done for us. We're not on a journey to get somewhere. We're on a journey of discovering where we actually already are. And when we realize where we are and we realize who we are in Christ and we realize what we've got, then we're limitless. But as long as the carrot's out there and you're needing to get somewhere, you're still needing to become something, then there's a lot of effort that you need to go through and you still need to get somewhere. You know, during worship, I actually had this word on my heart for someone. Fits in nicely here, so let me pull it out. It's Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 and 29. It says, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So, you know, the religious, in a negative sense, kind of life is purely, you need to do a lot of work in order to be accepted by God, in order to be blessed, in order to get somewhere. Where the grace life, now you can see where the name gets in. The grace life, the life with God, the Christian life is really just about rest. Yes, there's work for you to do. But it's not from a place of, I need to be accepted by God. It's from a place of, wow, it's an overflow. Okay? We're not giving to be blessed. We're giving because we are blessed. We're not serving to try and impress. We're serving because we're already accepted. We're His beloved children. If you think about it, Jesus baptized. Okay? Jesus baptized, and He comes up out of the water. And what does God say from heaven? A booming voice comes and says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God is expressing His pleasure in Jesus before He does any miracles, before He preaches any message, before He does anything ministry-wise. God is saying to everyone and declaring over Jesus, "Hey, I'm pleased with you." Then Jesus starts to go into ministry and does a whole bunch of stuff. Upsets the world in 3 years. That's awesome. If we're doing greater works, no, I'm not going to go there. But the point is, we should really, we need to realize God's acceptance of us before we do anything. It's not based on what we do, it's based on Jesus. It's based on the value that He has in you as an individual. He values you, He loves you, He accepts you, He's pleased with you because of Jesus. Now you go and do good works. Now you can go and do great things for Him. Before you do anything, He's pleased with you. That causes you to live a life of rest, not a life of trying to achieve something. The Christian life is not about trying to get something or become something. It's not about trying to get free from sin or become holy. It's not about anything except, it's not about becoming, it's about discovering. Okay, discovering who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, that you are blessed, that you are free from sin, that you are holy, that you are righteous. If you're trying to get the victory, you have a victim mentality. If you feel, hey, I've got this situation, I need victory, I'm in bondage to sin, or the devil's attacking me, or whatever the case is, and you're like, I need to get something, then you're putting yourself in the negative, and you're looking somewhere that you need to go, and you've already lost. Because you need to get something that you don't have. But that's not Christianity. Christianity is not about you trying to get something that you don't got. It's about you realizing what you've got and then being able to enjoy it. There's many examples, and we're going to look at it in a moment. But as long as you're trying to get victory, you have a victim mentality. Okay, we're not seeing ourselves as God sees us. We don't believe what the Bible says about us then. And we need to be seeing ourselves as God sees us and saying what the Word says about us, not what our circumstances say, not what our grandparents are saying, not what the person sitting next to you is saying, not what you think about yourself, not what the bank says about you, not what the teacher says about you, not what anyone says about you, but what God says about you. Okay, you're not a victim. Everybody say, I'm not a victim. You know what happened? You were a victim. Romans chapter 5, verse 17, which we looked at, it says, by one man, sin came. And can you put that up, Yanu? Romans chapter 5, verse 17. We had it in the first verse. First verse, Romans chapter 5, verse 17. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned. That's talking about Adam. Adam's one mistake brought in disaster. Okay, one man brought disaster. And what this is saying is that it made us victims. Because now you're born into the world a victim. Sin reigns over you because you're a victim. You didn't do anything, but you're a sinner. Then Jesus comes and reverses the curse. He reverses all of that and puts us in a position where we are no longer victims. You receive the gift of righteousness. You receive the abundance of grace. Now you've got Jesus, the one man, and you can reign in life. You're no longer a victim, you're a victor. You're victorious. And that's how you've got to see yourself. You were a victim, but Jesus saved you. Now you're victorious. Okay, 1 John 5, verse 4 is really kind of echoes this. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcame the world, overcomes the world, even our faith. And so you were born again into victory. You're not trying to get victory, you've got victory. I mean, this is super simple. But if you think about it, and a lot of times in application, and in we don't really believe that we've got something. We don't really believe that we're victorious. We're still trying to get somewhere. Where you are victorious and you've got something. And you've got to see yourself like that. Yeah, Acts chapter 3, if you go and look at it, it says that Peter and friends were going, Peter and his crew were going to the temple to pray. What happened? They see a lame man. He asks for money. He says, hey, I don't have any money to give you, but what I do have, he's saying, I do have something. What I do have, I'm going to give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, and the man gets healed. You know, he's not saying, well, let's focus on Jesus and pray now. Yeah, obviously, he acknowledges that Jesus did it. He says Jesus healed this man. In his name, this man was healed, if you go read it out in Acts chapter 3. But the point of the story is that he acknowledged that he has something to give. He's not now trying to, okay, let me just pray about this for a moment. Shun dying for an hour, trying to build up some kind of spiritual power so that he can get this lame man walking, this guy who can't walk, to walk. No, Peter says straight away, such as I have, give I unto you. He didn't have this power to, the power that he had to heal this man was God's power in him. So it wasn't his ability. He was relying, it was grace, relying on the power that was within him. But it was his to give because he had something. He didn't have to try and get power to heal the guy. He had the power to heal the guy. Romans chapter 8 verse 11 says that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That means you've got the power to be able to distribute it, to be able to bless other people, to be able to give it to other people. But you've got to acknowledge that you've got something, otherwise it's not going to work for you. If you're trying to get that power through holiness, through Bible studies, through Bible confessions, through fasting, through praying, through whatever, it's not going to work. It's by grace. Okay? So the way that we fight, because now we're talking about fighting and we're talking about reigning in life, is really by standing. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And so God's will for you is that no matter how evil the day is, you're able to stand and stand firm and stand strong and overcome and be victorious. He doesn't destine you to win some battles and lose some battles. Now, there's that saying, you win some, you lose some. It's true. You do lose some, you do win some. But for the believer, it shouldn't be true. We should be winning. You know, I don't know about you, but I like to win. Hey, guys, did you watch the rugby? You like to win. I didn't. I'm still happy. But the point is that you know, we like to win, and God's put that, wired it inside of our hearts that we want to overcome. We want to be victorious. Nobody likes to lose, and most people don't like losers. We're attracted to winners. We want to be winners. Okay? And God has set us up to reign and rule in life. Many Christians have a victim mentality when it comes to spiritual warfare. The devil is so big, and I'm fighting this big power. Come pray with me. You know, you can't do it yourself. You need other people to pray with you. And it's good. We've spoken about that. We need to link arms and stand together. But the point is stop seeing yourself as a victim. Stop seeing yourself in the negative and start seeing yourself as someone who has something to be able to give, and you've got authority and power to be able to deal with the devil, and you're able to stand up against him, and you're able to be victorious because God lives in you. You're his address. Think about it. Where do you live? What's your address? Now you can give me the address. Now if God was to give his address, it would be Catherine. You know, that's his address, but it's also all of your names and my name. Obviously me more than you. Jokes. It's really a joke. Please don't take me seriously when I joke like that. But the point is that, yeah, I don't know if everyone knows my sense of humor. That's why I have to say that. But the point is that God lives in you. You take him wherever you go, which means you've got something to give. Even if you got born again 2 minutes ago. This isn't just for the people who've been saved for years. And been you know, that they were born in church and lived in church all their life, and you know, married in church, everything in church. It's not just for those guys. This is for the person who's been born again for 2 minutes. You've got the same power in you that I've got. Okay? So there's no place for striving for victory in the Christian life. The Christian life is not about trying to get free and trying to be victorious. It's about being victorious and being free, because you are that. It's about realizing what you've got. Jesus' victory is our victory, and as a result, we're not trying to achieve victory. You've got victory. You are victorious. Start seeing yourself like that. Stop seeing yourself as someone who's just riddled with sin and suffering. Even with sickness, stop seeing yourself as sick. By his stripes you were healed. Start seeing yourself as healed and resist the sickness that's trying to attach itself to you. You know, I have pains and aches and things at times, but I don't say, oh, I'm feeling so sick. Oh, sorry, I don't say I am so sick. I rather say I'm feeling sick, because I'm not taking possession of it. It's not who I am. It's not something I've got. It's something that's trying to attack me. So I am not sick. I'm feeling a bit ill. Then come pray for me. Let's resist this. But it's not something I'm taking possession of. It's not something I don't want. I don't see myself in the negative trying to get into the positive. I see myself as in the positive resisting the negative. Okay, and that's how we've got to see ourselves. We're not fighting for victory. Okay? If we see ourselves as fighting for victory, then we've got a victim mentality. We see ourselves in the negative light. Okay, we're fighting from victory. We're not fighting for victory. So a significant key to reigning a life is seeing yourself as victorious, not seeing yourself as, I'm just trying to make it through. You know, God help me just to make it through this life. Please don't, if you're thinking like that, keep hanging around. You know, you hang around with people who have a victorious mentality, a victor mentality, then you're going to, the victim in you is going to get rubbed off, meaning it's going to get rubbed away. Going to disappear hopefully soon. Just keep listening to people who talk faith, and you'll start, you know, it'll start to stir something up within you. But if you're hanging around with all the guys who are talking unbelief and negative and all of that, then it's going to rub off on you probably. Be the influencer, not the influenced. Amen? So, you know, it's a good question to ask yourself, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a victim or victorious? Are you the sick trying to get healed, or are you the healed resisting the sickness? Are you the poor trying to get blessed, or are you the blessed resisting lack? You know, you can see and experience something and it's real, but the higher reality is what God says. So yes, I might have a sickness which is troubling me, but by his stripes I'm healed. And that's what I declare. You know, even if you know, you don't have much finance-wise for the rest of the month, you're blessed. The Bible says you're blessed. We're going to look at it now. You're blessed. And so rather focus on the positive that, you know, you've got everything you need for life and for godliness. Because the Bible says so. If you don't believe it, you don't believe the Bible. So rather declare what the Bible says and then you'll start to see it flow in your life. Okay, start seeing yourself not as the depressed and as someone who needs joy, but as someone who's got the joy of the Lord in them because it's a fruit of the Spirit and you've got His Spirit in you. You know, a great place to share this testimony again, where that friend of mine was in worship in a church that I was at once, and his hands are stretched out to God and he's got the tears running down his face and he's crying out to God, God, please just give me joy, give me joy, give me joy. And I mean, I was distracted, so I wasn't worshiping. I was like looking at this guy going, Lord, yeah, this is terrible. And he's just like crying out, God, give me joy. It's somewhere there, you know, it's coming, it's coming, it's somewhere there. And then it comes, it hits him, and he's now laughing. And he's laughing, and he's just enjoying this laughter. And, you know, I'm like, I'm sitting there watching going, I really don't understand this, Lord. And I was already studying the Word and digging into the Word, and for me, I was watching this going, this doesn't make sense to me. Now he's happy and he's enjoying it. He goes home. I see him the next day on the Monday morning. He's depressed. What's happening here? God's joy isn't momentary. That was a little bit of happiness. Yes, and God can make you happy, so happy that you just start laughing and whatever. You know, I'm not mocking that. But what I'm saying is that He doesn't want that for you. He wants you to have joy consistently. That's victory. He doesn't want moments of joy filled in with a lot of depression between. He wants you to have joy, joy, joy. I'm tempted to make you start singing it. You know, that song you've got, the joy, joy, what? The joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Some people you can't find it. It's so deep down. Down in my heart. And then the rest of the song goes, down in my heart to stay. Let it out. You know, it's deep down, but you've got to let it out. Okay, but you've got to stop seeing yourself as someone who needs to try and get joy or whatever, the blessing of God, the anointing of God, the whatever of God, and start seeing yourself in the positive in that, I've got this. It's mine. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's a powerful scripture. It says you're blessed, past tense. Blessed, ED at the end, says it means past tense. Who has, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You're blessed. You might not see it in the earthly places, but in the heavenly places, in your spirit, you're power-packed and fully loaded, ready to go. Isn't that good news? You're full of the blessing of God. You can't get any more blessing than you've already got. God, please bless me, is old covenant. The prayer of Jabez is old covenant. God bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, whatever the rest is. It's old covenant. You don't need that. You need to realize what blessing you've already got. Okay, next verse. 2 Peter 1, 3. Seeing that His divine power has granted unto us all things, that but all things, how much is there left to get if you've got all things? Nothing. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. Life being the practical. Day-to-day living, godliness being the spiritual, through the knowledge of Him that called us by His own glory and virtue. This is saying that you've got everything that you need for life and for godliness. It's past tense. Okay, you've got the blessing of God in you. You've got everything that you could need for any situation you could ever face. You don't need more than what you've already got. You need to tap into what you've got. Okay? And so the Christian life isn't about trying to get the blessing of God. It's about realizing it and just receiving it, activating it. You've got it in your spirit. Yes, you might not have it in your emotions or in your bank account or in your physical life. But when you realize what you've got, you can start to see it flowing. Okay? And you've got to start to acknowledge what you've got in order to see it manifest. So the other thing I want to share with this is just that this reveals that God's blessing is by grace. Undeserved, unearned, unmerited. His blessing is by grace. Not His blessing isn't because, you've been fasting and praying. Let me bless you, my son. Let me bless you, my daughter. You know, and all of a sudden, you've been living such a good life and being so super spiritual that God just opens up the window of heaven above you and bam, there you go. That's not how God works. You might be doing certain things which actually release the blessing that's already in you. Yes, but His blessing, His favor, His anointing is by grace. It's not by works and by your personal holiness. You know, God doesn't bless you because, hey, you're such a great person. You've just been doing so good. That might help you activate it or release some of it or whatever because you're able to receive it better. But God's blessing, it's yours. You've got it. It's like when you get born again. There's this big, big, big present called God's blessing. And it's got your name on it. So you get this present and it says your name. You put your name on it. And it's like you're walking around. It's this big present like floats on your top of your head, let's say. Just my how I'm picturing it. It's not in scripture. In case you start telling that Shane's teaching weird things about this blessing bubble above your head or whatever. So it's not really scripture. But let's say there's this blessing above you. It's yours. It belongs to you. You're walking around. Everywhere you go, it's there. Everywhere you go, it's yours. But you're not experiencing any of it unless you reach out and take it. You need to receive it. It's like having a bank account with loads and loads and loads of cash in it and never using it, never making a withdrawal. You're walking around, you're fully loaded, you've got lots of cash, but you're starving because you're not using your card, swiping it, and taking advantage of what's yours. You're not receiving. You're blessed. You see yourself as blessed, not as deficient, and you need to start taking advantage of the blessing which you've got. Using it. Claim what's rightfully yours. It doesn't happen automatically. I mean, this verse shows you it doesn't happen automatically. It says, through the knowledge of Him. So it's not, your job isn't just to sit on the couch and go, okay, God, do it. Your job is to, through the knowledge of Him, grow in your relationship with God and your knowledge of Him. Grow in your friendship with Him. Grow in your knowledge of the Word. It'll teach you. It'll show you. He'll show you how to receive it, how to take hold of what's yours. You know, lots of testimonies are flooding my mind right now of how as I started to get into the Word and study the Word and listen to good teaching and learn things, it enabled me to receive miracles and see things happening, healings and whatever. But before that, I didn't have a clue how those things work. When I understood them, it brought fruitfulness. So you experience all the blessing of God for life and godliness through the knowledge. Grow in your understanding of God. Grow in your friendship with Him and you'll start to see things happening more and more in your life. Hosea 4:6 says, you know, my people perish for lack of knowledge. What you don't know is killing you. What you don't know is preventing you from experiencing the goodness of God. And it's not complicated. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to go to Bible school. You know, all those things may help, but we need to be making the Word a priority, digging into the Scripture a priority so that we can grow in relationship with God. So, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 says, and having done all to stand. And having done all to stand. So this is like kind of summing it up and saying, you've got the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the shoes of the gospel, the readiness of the gospel of peace, you've got the sword of the Spirit, you've got the shield of faith, you've got all of this stuff. And once you're ready, now just stand. And having done all, and praying, we spoke about that last week, but now just stand. Just stand. I mean, it's not difficult just to stand. Okay, I find it difficult because, you know, I'm moving around a lot. But just to stand is doesn't take a lot of effort. Unless there's something wrong with you. Okay? But just stand. God has set us up for victory. We've been born again into victory. We're not trying to break free from bondages. We're realizing that we're free. All we need to do is stand in the victory that we've got. Okay? We're not fighting to achieve something. We're fighting to defend what we've got. We're just standing our ground. We're standing our ground. The word stand here means to abide or to establish. Abide or establish. And so what it's saying is we need to establish ourselves in order to reign in life, which makes perfect sense, doesn't it? You need a healthy root system in order to flourish. You know, we use two analogies really with building a foundation in our lives. We've got the building of a house or a building and the foundations, and then we've got the tree with the root system. Now, I prefer looking at a tree with a root system because it's alive and a building isn't. Okay, yes, you're a living stone, part of the church of God, all of that. But you know, if you think about a building's foundation, it doesn't grow. It sits and it stays. But roots grow. Tree, you know, you need to nourish that tree's root system continuously. Laying a foundation or the root system of a tree isn't a once-off thing. You've got to nourish it and continuously feed into it. A building, the foundations are there, great. If it wasn't done properly or whatever, you know, you maybe need to fix it up or something like that, but it's not alive, it's dead. But if you think about a root system, it's alive, it can grow. The better the conditions, the better the growth. And so, you know, in establishing, it's not a once-off occurrence. I went to Bible school, tick, now I'm fine. What's next, Lord? I heard about healing, tick, now I can just, 10 years later, why am I not experiencing healing? You know, I know that God loves me, but why am I not experiencing His love? Faith comes, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing the Word of God, not heard the Word of God. A lot of us are heard the Word of God, therefore we don't experience the Word of God. If you want to experience what God's Word talks about, you need to be hearing the Word of God, which means it shows a consistency. Faith comes by hearing, not heard. You've got to be continuously immersing yourself in the Word, listening to the Word, filling yourself with the Word, fellowshipping with Jesus, the Word, and allowing it to build you up and nourish you so that you can experience the fruitfulness of it. Otherwise, you're just playing around. And, you know, don't say, well, that must be legalism because now he's making me feel bad because I'm not getting into the Word. That's immature of you. You're thinking like that. It's really just immature. Because the reality of it is, if you don't know what you're doing, you're gonna fail. How do you grow in your relationship with God? Not by sitting on your behind waiting for Him to pitch up. It's by seeking Him. You seek Him in the Word. You seek Him in your time of intimacy with Him, in prayer and things like that. Just because you feel a little bit of conviction doesn't mean it's condemnation. You know, if I'm not here if I don't challenge you to grow, then I don't care about you. And so I want to challenge you to grow. I want to challenge, make you feel extremely challenged when you leave here, that you want to go home and just fill yourself with the Word of God. Go take as many teachings as you want and just fill yourself with the Word of God because it's going to set you up for success and for victory. But if you're feeling that, hey, this guy's making me feel bad because I'm not filling myself with the Word of God, then switch off, just keep coming, sit in your chair. We love you, it's fine. It's okay, but you're not going to grow. You're not going to experience the victory and reign in life. Anyway, where were we? So it means to abide or to establish. So we need to establish ourselves in the Word and, I believe, in community to be able to experience fruitfulness. But then it's talking about abiding in the vine, like John 15. Abide in the vine. It's talking about consistency. It's not, hey, I'm rooted in the vine, now I'm going to detach myself and just go over here for a moment. Now I'm going to come back and get a bit of life from the vine, and then I'm going to go off and do my own thing. If you're a Christian, you can't do that. You're attached to Jesus, He's not going anywhere. But you need to allow that life to flow into your life because that's what's going to produce the fruitfulness. You need to allow it to flow, okay? Galatians chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free." Doesn't that mean you're free? Stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Jesus has made you free. You are free. Now, Isaiah 61, it says that's part of what Jesus came to do, and that's part of our job, to proclaim liberty, freedom to the captives. It's not just to set people free. It's to proclaim the freedom that's already there. My testimony is, I thought that sin was this big, powerful thing, and I was struggling with it. But as soon as I realized from Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, sin had no power over me, I was free. As soon as freedom was proclaimed to me and I heard that message, no hold on me anymore. That's the message of freedom. So Stand therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and don't be entangled again by a yoke of bondage. Stand fast is an expression which means to persevere, to hold one's ground, to stand. That's what we were talking about. So you've got your shield of faith, you've got your sword, but you're standing. You're holding your ground. You're persevering in that standing. Okay? Now, countries do the same thing with their borders. You know, countries have to persevere and protect their borders, maintain their freedom. Okay? It's the same thing with us. We've got to protect our freedom. This reveals that our freedom in Christ doesn't function automatically. We have a part to play in it, and it's to stand our ground. If you're not defending your freedom, you're losing it. And how does the enemy love to attack your freedom? One major key: legalism. In the context of Galatians chapter 5, it's talking about guarding against legalism. It's talking about, hey, don't fall into the yoke of bondage, legalism. That's what Paul's talking about. He's saying, don't fall back into legalism. Stand fast in grace, in freedom. Okay? And that's what it's talking about. Our enemy, the devil, is always trying to get us back into legalism, relating to God based on what we do, not on what Jesus has done. So it's a good question to ask, you know, with regard to the blessing and all of that stuff. Are you relating to God based on what you're doing for Him or on what He's done for you? The one is legalism, the one is grace, the one is right, the one is wrong. To put it bluntly. We've got to relate to God based on what He's done for us. We don't get into self-effort and self-justification. We're living the grace life. It's about His righteousness, His justification of us, not our justification of us. Okay, so how do we stand firm? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Now, this is a bit of a contradiction in terms, but it's not a contradiction, okay? We're standing firm, but we're running this race in life, okay? We're running, but we're standing firm. You are standing firm by running. Does it make sense? Okay, it's just two different ways of explaining the same thing, really. It says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we run this race and we focus by focusing on Jesus. We persevere by focusing on Jesus. That verse goes on to say, verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So this is saying we need to stay focused on the finished work, focused on what Jesus has done for us. Otherwise, we're going to grow weary and faint in our minds. We'll give up. How many of you want to give up? Just checking, you're all awake. It's good. We don't want to give up. We don't want to grow weary. We don't want to faint. We don't want to give up. How do we not give up? By staying focused on the finished work. What has Jesus done for me? Not what can I do for Him. That comes. But our focus needs to be, what has Jesus done for me? And that will well up such thanksgiving in you, and you'll be overwhelmed that you'll start doing stuff for Him. You'll be like, God, I just want to be a blessing. So stay focused on the finished work. Then 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So we stand firm by being strong in His grace. This means that we accept the truth that His grace, His blessing, His favor in our lives is completely undeserved, completely unearned. You cannot do anything to get it except, thank you. It's mine. I receive it. It's not because you're good that He gives it to you. It's because He's good that He gives it to you. As soon as we start relying on ourselves, we're getting into legalism and we're getting out of grace. Okay, you know the term or the phrase "fallen from grace." The world, it's a scriptural term, "fallen from grace," but the world kind of uses it in terms of someone was on a pedestal and they fell from grace. They got into some kind of moral error, moral dilemma or error or something, and so now they've fallen off the pedestal. And they've fallen from grace. They're no longer worthy to have that position. That's not what the Bible talks about when it talks about fallen from grace. Fallen from grace is when you step into legalism. You start trying to relate to God based on your actions and you're out of grace. You've fallen from grace. We need to be focused on the finished work in living. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Okay? As soon as we're like, I can't get sick because I confess the word every day. I take communion every day. That's relating to God based on what you're doing. Confessing the word is good. Taking communion is good. But it should be about what's the center of that. You're confessing the word because you believe it. It's faith rising up in your heart, overflowing. You're taking communion because it's focusing your attention onto Jesus and the finished work and what he's done for you. It's not about the actions of those things. It's about the heart of those things. Okay? God protects my finances and blesses me because I give. I'm a tither. You're focusing on what you're doing, not on what he's done. I give because I'm blessed and I want to be a blessing. Not because I want God to bless me, but because I am blessed. You've got to look at it right. Not in the victim mentality, but in the victorious mentality. And you've got to start to see yourself as God sees you. We stand firm by being established in His grace and by keep focusing on the finished work of what He's done for us. Okay? Stand firm. So the word firm is basically showing that God, this is God's heart for you. This is God's will for you. That you be immovable, unshakable. That nothing can push you off of just standing firm. God's desire isn't that you like be tossed around like a wave in the ocean. God doesn't want you to fall over at every whim and just be all over the place. He wants you to stand firm. His desire is that you be a pillar of strength so that others can benefit from that. So that whenever all hell is breaking loose, people know that they can rely on you because you're relying on God. Obviously, he wants them to rely on God too, but he wants you to be a source of stability in your environment. Amen? So, it's really about us standing in what we've got and not trying to get something. And we've got to start to see ourselves as victorious, not as victims. Amen? Father, I want to thank you that we are victorious, that we are free, that we are whole, and in you, we're complete. We're not trying to be completed. We're not trying to be holy. We are holy. We are righteous. And as we realize who we are in the Spirit, we can just start to let it out and it effortlessly starts to flow. I pray for each one of us that we'd have a revelation of who we are, not who we need to become. That we'd have a revelation of what we've got in Christ, what is our inheritance, not what we need to try and get hold of. Thank you, Father, that we are blessed. We are deeply loved and we are highly favored. We don't need to try and get anything. We've already got it. We're not like that dog who's trying to chase its tail, not realizing that it's already attached to it. We've already got the blessing of God, the favor of God. We've already got it. We thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.